Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning and we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We're starting a new section entitled Relinquishing Our Rights. For some reason, this topic and the previous one about brokenness really interest people, which I think is interesting. I think Christians might have a martyr tendency that we want to look at and overcome. But we want to look at the approach that gets us there in regarding our rights, what our rights are, what we believe about our rights, and how to relinquish those rights in order to receive everything God has for us. In the last section, we've been looking at how the breaking process exposes and breaks the control of our self-life over our lives. An essential aspect of this process includes God putting his finger on rights we are holding on to. Though this will usually continue throughout our lifetime, there is an opportunity during the initial breaking process, the big thing, to commit ourselves entirely into the hands of the Lord by relinquishing our rights in a conscious and tangible effort. In other words, to say, okay, at this point in time, I know that I've relinquished my rights. And even though your soul, your self-life, will try to re-exert those rights, you want to be able to point to a day or a moment when you relinquished those rights. And when we get through, we'll go through quite a variety of rights that may pinpoint areas where you are trying to maintain control. And let the Lord show you where that if you're in control in those areas, he's not. And that's an area where you are exerting your rights above his. As usual, it comes back to learning how to depend on God. And what one thing we'll find is that there's areas where we will say that we have relinquished the right, that we don't claim ownership in a particular area. And yet, when we go into another circumstance, the Lord shows us that, no, we've only relinquished it on our terms, not on his. And so as we move forward in addressing the way God changes us through dependence, through putting his finger on things, through drawing us and revealing himself to us, those are the circumstances and the situations that we learn about and not just learn about, but also implement the activities that God is doing in our lives as he changes us. So this is not just a learning thing. There may be times when we're just going to go through an agreement with him, and we may think that nothing happens and that maybe God doesn't take it too seriously. But what we will find is that God does take this very seriously. And even before we say it or acknowledge it or experience it, we have already agreed and experienced it, in this case, relinquishing our rights, in the spirit. In your spirit, who you truly are, has already established that you have no individual rights. And this is what we'll find is coming to the end of our rights is where we have the full experience of God's love, acceptance, and value of us. When you know how much you can trust God, you don't need any rights. There's this strange dependence where we have our needs met by him, and yet knowing that part of those needs are to live and rule and reign here on this earth, again, through dependence on him. So it's a different approach than what we're used to using our own mind, will, and emotions. Radical grace, which is having a relationship with God on his terms, requires us to give up our right to control on any level. And again, this is something that is best experienced before really understanding the distinction between giving up our rights and yet exercising our will. Because until you give up your rights fully, your right to control, your will not be free. In many respects, this is the opposite of what we've been taught, but that's the breaks. That's what we're looking at, is what is really working, what is the end goal, and does what we do, is what we've been taught, does that work? So what rights are we talking about? We have all constructed our individual belief systems around what has worked for us in the past. You're believing something for a reason. And it's not just because it's the truth. It's because you have a vested interest in your beliefs. These beliefs center around what we hold to be true, even though we may have never even looked at what our beliefs are or where they came from, let alone if they're true, if they're based on reality. These perceived truths or beliefs about ourselves, about God, about others, the purpose of our life here, are all ways in which we subtly or overtly exert our right to control in each of these areas. So when we look at what belief systems we're involved in, what stream of organized religion or unorganized religion, there is a reason that you have gravitated toward that belief system. It is often because there's an accommodation of your idea of what your rights are. It's about your belief system. Now, an area where you don't believe the truth is an area God's going to, one way or another, one day or another, he's going to put his finger on it. So we start with the whole idea of, Lord, whatever you want to do is fine. And we go from there. And we allow him to remove those beliefs by, not just by taking them away, but he gives us himself. His way, his truth, his life. And we find we can't contain it in our own box, our own little box. So, though these rights that we all have, where we are trying to maintain control, or we think we have a, you know, there's nothing wrong with us maintaining, this is what we're supposed to do. As a Christian, this is what we're supposed to do. Supposed to be. Supposed to act like. Or as a Christian, I have a right to expect. I have a right to get my way, or be blessed, or even be cursed. And we will find out that they line, these beliefs about our rights line up with our flesh based on our temperament. And so, of course, they're going to vary from person to person. Your rights, your perception of your rights are going to be different than perception of rights even in your own family, even if you had a twin. Your perception of rights are going to be unique to you because they are so tied up in your flesh, in your and in your temperament. There are some common elements, though, that we will look at later to help us get a running start on looking at our own individualized rights, areas where we are trying to maintain control. And a right is something that, as a protector, we use to influence or control others. We'll talk also about the whole idea of being offended and how when you are offended, you give the other person power over you. And that in the strict sense of the phrase, you have no right to be offended. Because if everything you're going through you've already agreed to as a spirit being, and God has set aside as a training opportunity for you, why are you complaining about it? Why would it possibly be offensive? You knew it was coming. You agreed to it. You understand this is for God's purpose and his plan. But because we have this idea that as Christians we have certain rights, as humans we have certain rights, we get sucked in to playing on our enemy's battlefield. And you know, when we play on his battlefield, when we fight on his terms, we lose. there's a saying that the attacker, the invader, sets the rules. The offender, the team on offense, sets the rules. So if you are in the position where you're being attacked, if you don't know how to counterattack and take the offensive, you will be playing by your enemy's rules. In one of the attacks that they use, our enemies being the world, the flesh, and the devil, is that you have rights. And if you agree with your enemies and say, yes, I have rights, you've already lost the battle because you're playing on your enemy's battlefield. Now, we'll get into this a little bit, but if you've got any questions, again, as a reminder, you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. But this is something that, as individuals, as we spend time with God, as we allow Him to put His finger on different areas of our lives, we will see that He is drawing us closer to Him to be set free and putting His finger on individual areas where we are feeling or believing that we are justified in maintaining control over in a particular area. Again, this is something unique for each one of us. So you're not going to be able to judge how you're doing compared to someone else, or if you're going a lot slower and they're going a lot faster. It's none of your business. Just be about the business God has for you, and He will remove the hindrances, reveal those areas where you're stumbling over your own rights on His timetable. What's fascinating is that as we give up our rights, we come into greater understanding and experience of our new identity. So we trade our position of being a friend of God, a worker for God, a pleaser of God, a minister of God, a saint even. We trade those for acknowledging our new identity as sons of God, inheritors of the kingdom, sons of God, joint heirs with His Son. So it's not that we are looking for ways to establish a way to relate to God. Instead, we are looking for ways to bring forth in our soul and in our body that relationship that we're already experiencing in our spirit. So, some of these rites are going to include the right to relate to God in a certain way. The right to control and prepare for our future. The right to make decisions about where we spend our time, where we make an effort, what we do with our resources and emotions. And even the right to control how others treat us. But claiming any of those rights denies the full lordship of Christ. Who alone has the only rights in the life of a believer. When you are joined with Him, your rights are now His rights. in your life. And again, it's better experienced than try to explain how when you are joined with him, you have new rights, but they're his rights. Because you and he are one. Because you're not separate. So where did we get the idea we had any rights to begin with? The idea that we have individual rights is the fundamental lie of the flesh. As a being separate from God, the flesh sets up its own kingdom with its own rules or rights. Just because we believe something doesn't make it true. We may believe that God is under obligation to do such and such if we do such and such. But even under the law system, the old covenant, exerting these rights did not bring Israel into a grace relationship with God, because it did not change their basic dead nature. It influenced their physical bodies and their soul, but not their spirit. We have carried this idea into this present age in an effort to continue to maintain control over how our needs are met. We will find that to clarify an area we might be struggling with, we can ask, where is the control? And very often that will point to either a misunderstanding, perhaps a misapplication, or just the need for patience in God working something out. He knows the times and seasons in your life. He knows what you need right now. And he knows how to relieve you of those rights. We find ourselves often between a rock and a hard place. And it's often in those difficult situations that's where he's showing us where and how we are trying to exert our rights over his. But a fact is anything I can get you to believe. Or we could say in this case that a truth is anything the flesh can use to maintain its control. Flesh makes us feel good. It makes us feel in control. So our flesh, your flesh, has established your own set of rules and guidelines and approaches to life. You have your own sayings. You have your own rule book. You may not be aware of many of the things that you say to yourself. When you need encouragement, do you have a little saying you say to yourself? When you did something stupid, do you have a little saying you say to yourself? When you think about family secrets, and maybe somebody's sharing family secrets with a new family member, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. Those are family secrets. And just knowing that, knowing what they are, will very often give you an indicator of where you're trying to maintain control and where your beliefs need to change. Flesh makes us feel good and in control. So our flesh, in establishing those set of rules, is trying to control God, ourselves, our enemies, our circumstances. And we use those rules, generally speaking, that's what we consider our rights to be. That if you believe someone has to behave or respond or treat you in a certain way because of something you believe, that's what your perceived right is. That if I'm nice to someone else, they have to be nice to me. Or just because they're nice to me, I don't have to be nice to them. We all have our own rules, our own approaches in life, and we've established those rules and rights to give us a sense of control. This also, what we'll find is this greatly affects our idea of fairness, of justice, of right and wrong, of morality. These concepts are all legalistic, Old Testament concepts. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them, it's just they don't apply to our spirit. The idea that we have any rights at all is a fleshly idea, because in not pertaining to our spirit, they pertain to the supernatural or soulical and the natural realms. And because you are now a spirit being, when you try to live according to the concepts, the legalism of your soul and your body, that's when you are double-minded. That's when you are trying to live two lives and trying to maintain your control is letting your flesh, one of your true enemies, maintain that battle against God. But he will not let you succeed. Because what we as sons now have is based on our family relationship, our oneness relationship with God, with our Father. And what we have now in him is so much more than anything we could ever comprehend, that it's something that must be experienced for ourselves. The freedom, the joy, the rest, the power, the perception, the satisfaction, the contentment, the desire, the passion, the persistence that comes from knowing who we are in Christ, not with our head knowledge, but by experience, changes our beliefs. And we begin to see more and more where we have been trying to get God to do something based on exerting our rights, using our flesh to get our way. So we'll pick it up there next Monday. Our next program is tomorrow at 7:30. We'll be moving forward in the Getting Healed series. As always, drop by weekendprepare.org. Sign up for updates and the blog entries. And if you've ever got any questions, again, you can contact me at diane@weekendprepare.org. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.